Hello, it's 8 past 3 on KMOX Radio in St. Louis, and we're back at your service. There's a kind of an interesting story the other day in the Wall Street Journal. It says the New York Public Library has reached a milestone of sorts. After holding out for several decades, it is reluctantly putting a few Harriet S. Adams books on its shelves. Reluctantly putting them on the shelves. But in Charleston, West Virginia, where book banning is a lively issue these days, that library has no intention of introducing those Adams books. And moreover, most other public libraries continue to resist, and reviewers still shun the books as they have for a half century. You see, the libraries dismiss them as lacking literary quality. But they've been selling and selling and selling for decades. What books are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the books written by, not Harriet Adams, but rather by Andrew Svensson. The Hardy Boys series, the Bobbsey Twins, the Dana Girls, Tom Swift Jr. How about that? Can you believe that these books are banned because they're not literary? And just for your own information, we did a little check in the public libraries around here, and you know what kind of books are available to preteens? We just picked a couple of them, and we're talking about 9 to 12 age group. One of them is Growing Up in a Hurry. It's a story of a young girl who is desperate for love, so she gets pregnant and is rushed off to an abortion clinic by her mother. That one you can find in the library. You may not be able to get a Nancy Drew book, but you can get that easy. And then there's a book called Uncle Mike's Boy. Nice, sweet, innocent title. But there are at least 50 expletives in the first 1 1/2 chapters. Can't get the Hardy Boys book, but you can get Uncle Mike's Boy. That's got literary quality to it. And there's a book called Riding Free. That's available to the kids, 9 to 12. Tells the story of two teenage girls who decide to take off without knowledge of their parents. And they hitchhike to Chicago. And they run into several adventurous situations along the way. And they get to Chicago, and they decide to call and inform their parents where they are. And their parents in the book send them money and tell them, stay out and have a good time, kids. That's all right. But you can't get any Bobbsey Twins books in the library. Well, so maybe the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew don't have literary quality. But they got something else. They got a sense of decency and morality in them. And on the line with us right now is a gentleman who writes them, author Andrew Svensson. You'll have an opportunity to meet him, question him when we come back in a minute. And we say hello to Andrew Svensson. He's talking to us from his home up there in East Warren, New Jersey. Andy, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Bob.
My Lord. How long have you been writing Hardy Boys books?
Oh, I've been writing them for about 27 years now.
27 years. Who wrote them before you?
Well, they were started by Edward Stratemeyer, who originated the series in 1927. And then we've had several writers in between. I came to the company from the Newark Evening News, where I was a reporter and an editor.
Right.
And started taking them over at that time.
What besides the Hardy Boys are you writing?
Oh, I've written a lot of things, Bob. I'm an old hand at these children's series books. I wrote the Happy Hollister series, which many of your viewers, your listeners might remember.
Right.
I wrote 33 of those for Doubleday, and I've written some of the Bobbsey Twins, and a Western series, a Bret King Western series.
Right.
So I've had my hand in books for the younger kids, say 7, 8, 9, and then the older ones from 9, say, to 13, 14.
You get a little torn up when you find that these books that have been, almost anchors as they had been in the libraries in the past and in kids' private home libraries. You get a little torn up when you find out they're not available in a lot of the libraries around the country today?
No, that doesn't bother us any. The kids save their money and go to the bookstores and buy them. These old-fashioned librarians don't bother us a bit. As a matter of fact, I was interested in your introduction, Bob. These books about sex and drugs and those things for young children, you know, they don't sell many of those. If a writer does one of those books and he sells 5,000 copies, he thinks that's terrific. When I write a new book, if I don't sell 60,000 the first year, I think I've failed. So don't worry about it.
Well, all right, so you say don't worry about it, Ann, but let's face it, shouldn't there be a little concern for the fact that those kinds of books are on the library shelves and the other kinds aren't?
Well, you see, you have a liberal-type librarian who feels that children should not have any childhood. These people would deprive children of childhood and have them go right from 7 years of age right into adulthood and miss those marvelous years where their minds are developing and their imagination is stretching. And so they give these kids adult books, adult-type books about sex and things of that sort. Well, the kids don't want that. They'd rather have adventure and mystery, Bob.
We just got a call off the air telling us from the St. Louis County Libraries that indeed your books are stocked there, and they say that the reason they put them in there, that sure, maybe they may not be of the same literary quality of a Shakespeare or something like that, but if nothing else, they whet the kids' appetite for further reading.
Yeah, well, you know, I resent this business about not of literary quality. Now, 50 years ago, I'll admit that some of these early books were sort of thrown together years ago. But today, we take pains to have these books of high literary quality. We have a theme, and we have plot and subplot, and they're very meticulously put together. And it's true that these books whet a child's appetite. After all, if we can get kids to read, Bob, we've done something good, don't you think?
As far as I'm concerned, you have. How many books do you write in the course of a year's time, Andy?
Well, I put out four a year. This past year, I did a Hardy Boys book, I did a Bobbsey Twins book, and I did two new racing books that just came out a week ago.
The Win and Lonnie series.
Yeah, the Win and Lonnie series.
Uh-huh.
And we feel that these books will interest kids, say, boys and girls, from, say, 9 to 13.
Uh-huh. Where do you get your ideas?
I don't know, Bob. I pick up ideas from all over, from newspapers, from magazines, from my personal experiences, from my travels. I get ideas coming from all over, and I catalog them in the back of my head, and also in my extensive story file, which I go through occasionally.
You ever get letters from your readers?
I should say so.
What do they say?
Well, listen, between Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, we get 400 letters a month. And each letter is answered individually. And, you know, it's a great joy, Bob, to get these letters. The kids love the books, and they talk about the stories, and they want you to write more. That's the thing. They always say, keep it up. We want to see the next book.
Yeah. How many Hardy Boys books have been published?
The one coming out this month makes 54.
54 different stories.
54 Hardy Boys.
Uh-huh. And how about Bobbsey Twins?
Well, the Bobbsey Twins we had a problem with. When they got up to 75, we cut back to 50. We cut out some of the titles.
Uh-huh.
And this is a phenomenon of the publishing trade.
Yeah.
And now they're back up to 61 again.
And Nancy Drew?
Nancy Drew, 53 titles.
53 titles.
You know, they started in 1929.
All right, given those three, the Hardy Boys, the Bobbsey Twins, and Nancy Drew series, how many copies of all three have been sold since their inception?
Oh, my goodness. We're selling now 5 million a year. I would say I can give you the totals on the Nancy Drew has sold about 60 million, and the Hardy Boys 50 million, and the Bobbsey Twins just about the same.
But you can't find them in the library.
Now, listen, Bob, you find them in some libraries which are staffed by the younger, modern librarian, the girls who have read the books themselves. And they're the ones who are putting them on the shelves and recommending them for young readers who so far have not been interested in books.
Gee, you think it'd be the other way around. You know, the young people are the ones who are looking for changes and everything else, we are told. Kind of a surprise.
Well, the few of them around North Jersey here that I've spoken to are very much in favor of the books. Now, I'll tell you how this all started, this aversion by some of these librarians. In their textbooks, There is a chapter in which it says, by no means stock series books. And this is in their textbooks. As a matter of fact, one of our daughters studied library science, and she brought this home and showed it to me one day. She said, Daddy, what do you think of this? I said, nonsense. This was written by a very, very old person who should have retired long ago.
Andy, how old are you?
I'm 64 now, Bob.
64. Well, I guess age is a frame of mind rather than a number of years.
You're right, it is. I don't feel, I mean, I still feel like I'm 30.
Andrew Svensson, author of The Hardy Boys and the Bobbsey Twins series, etc., is talking with us from his home up there in New Jersey. And if you have questions or comments for Andy, come on in. 436-7900. That's in St. Louis and St. Louis County. 397-8600 from Metro East and from the suburbs. Enterprise 9808. All right, Andy, let's see what our listeners have for you. Go ahead, please. You're on KMOX.
I enjoyed the Hardy series when they were on in the movies. And I'm wondering, why can't we have shows like that on television now instead of all the killing and sex that we have coming into our home?
Okay, ma'am, thank you. I think you may be a little confused. The Andy Hardy series is not the same as the Hardy Boys.
Well, we have a series on the Mickey Mouse Club, which, by the way, is just started to have some reruns,
mm-hmm.
and the Hardy Boys, they have a segment on there, a 15-minute segment,
right.
And that's being shown again. As far as the question is concerned, we wonder, too, why producers don't get into this. We have inquiries, every year we have several inquiries, and right now our properties are out on option, but so far no major series has resulted from it.
Maybe you ought to do it yourself. Hello, your question, please.
Hi. I wanted to tell you that when I was growing up, and I'm only 25 now, when I was growing up, the biggest status symbol in my school was to have your own collection of Nancy Drew or the Bobbsey Twins, or to be the best friend of the kid that had them, because then you got to read them. And if it hadn't have been for Nancy Drew and the Bobbsey Twins, I don't think I would have ever learned to read, because I was a very poor student, because I wasn't interested in textbooks. So I would just like to thank your guests for being around to write all our books.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And in regard to that, let me tell you a story. A woman wrote in. She said, I'm 24 years old, and I don't want you to think that I'm dull-witted, but I still read Nancy Drew because they're the only mystery without murder.
I think it's only fair to point out also that Nancy Drew was one of the first non-sexist books for girls, wasn't she, Andy?
That's right. Nancy, Nancy, I think, was a forerunner of this women's lit movement because, boy, I'm telling you, she did things by herself and she outwitted men and had a merry old time showing what women could do.
Yeah, she never used to get scared, as I recall, and she never worried about her hair getting messed up. Hello, what's your question for Andy?
As a mother of young children in grade school, I make sure that my children are exposed to books of this type. Of course, I grew up with Nancy Drew, and I didn't really read the Hardy Boys, but I'm going through Little House on the Prairie series with my children for the second time, and I've been reading the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and I started reading it to my daughter, and I couldn't wait. I had to read the whole series way ahead of her.
Looks like you still got some people hanging on from an earlier time. I guess that's the way it works, doesn't it?
The way it does.
Yeah. We'll take some more calls for you when we come back in a minute. It's 28 past 3, and our guest is Andrew Svensson, author of The Hardy Boys, The Bobbsey Twins, just to name a few. Hello, go ahead. What's your question for Andy?
Yes. I used to read the Hardy Boy books, and as I went through college, I sort of lost contact with them. But I was wondering if it would be possible to purchase a complete set now, and so how?
Okay. Can you do that, Andy?
Oh, yes, of course. Grassen & Dunlap is the publisher, and the books are sold in all major bookstores. You can order the complete set of 54 books. Yes, indeed. You know, people like yourself who have gone to college and lost contact with these books feel that now they're not being published anymore.
Hmm.
You have grown out of the age bracket, but believe me, the books are still We still write one a year to add to the series, and they're still exceedingly popular.
What would it cost to get a whole set all at one whack?
They're up to $1.95 now.
54, about 108 bucks.
Yeah.
Plus sales tax.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad.
Not too bad. And if you have any old books, believe me, hang on to them.
Oh, are they valuable?
Oh, they're becoming collector's items now, yeah.
I'll be darned. Hello, what's your question?
My question is, I'd like to know what advice your guest would give to a young man 24 years old wishing to enter the writing profession.
Are you talking about in youngsters' books, or are you talking about just generally?
Just generally.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Well, generally speaking, to get into the writing business, of course, you have to have a thorough-going background of the English language. That's first. You have to know how to write a good sentence, a good paragraph, a good chapter. And I'd say to a young man who wants to get into the writing business, the newspaper field, I think, is the very best opportunity. Because there you get into all facets of writing. You learn how to be speedy and accurate and assemble ideas. You learn how to talk to all kinds of people, which is a thing you must do when you write fiction. You have to get information from all different sources.
Given that, then what do you do? How do you break it, actually?
Well, then you write, if you want to write fiction, you write and you keep sending the stuff out, and do not be discouraged by the negative replies you're going to get at the start. Just keep it up. And if you have to send the manuscript out to 30 different places, do so.
Mm-hmm.
And keep on writing. And the more you write, the more facile you will become. And eventually, if you have talent, you will break it.
There's an old saying in the writing business, know your market. Does that still apply?
Yes, well, when you send the stuff, when you send your material to publishers, know what kind of books the publisher prints. You wouldn't send a children's manuscript to a publisher who did only textbooks.
Right.
So you have to know where to send your material.
Hello, your question for Andy.
Yes, this is in regard to the Hardy Boy books. My son asked this Christmas if I would had some of his old Hardy Boy books, which were in copyrighted in 46. So he has a son, and now he is reading. I had 11 volumes, and he really enjoys them very much. And at the time, you tell the author that we paid 49 cents for them, and right now, you know what the price is.
Okay.
And we do enjoy your program very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1946, huh?
Yeah, it's nice to hear that people have the books and have kept them from that time, and that they have provided enjoyment to their children.
Your question for Andy.
I'd like to know, I'm 9 years old, and I've been reading Hardy Boy's books for 2 years, and I've been enjoying them. And I'd like to know what his next issue is going to be.
Okay, thank you. Next issue of the Hardy Boys, next edition, I think you mean.
Well, the next book is coming out soon. It should be on the market end of this month or in February. And the title is The Mysterious Caravan. Jot that down, The Mysterious Caravan. And it's a story that winds up in North Africa, in Morocco. And I went there and did an on-the-spot research. And believe me, it can get pretty spooky over there.
Tell me something. Did the Hardy Boys ever go to school?
Yes, they go to Bayport High School.
I know that, but do they ever go to school?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, they don't go to school. You know, we figure, Bob, the kids have enough of school, you know.
Sort of like Jack Armstrong.
He never went
to school either.
Yeah, well, what they want, what a child wants is some recreational and release reading. They have enough of school, enough of parents saying do this and do that and don't do this and so forth. So as a result, we keep parents out of the stories and let the kids do the solving.
One more. Go ahead, Liz. You're on the air.
Yes. You announced your guest as being the author of the Bobbsey Twins. I have about 20 copies that were bought back in the 20s, and they say they were published by Gossip and Dunlap, and it says the author is Laura Lee Hope. Did he write under a pen name, or
That's a very good question.
I thought that the question would never come up, and if it didn't, I was going to ask it.
Well, I was waiting for it too, Bob.
Okay, go ahead and explain.
These are what you call house pseudonyms. Now, my company is the Stratemeyer Syndicate. We are an organization of writers, and I'm a partner in this company. And these names, they're all pseudonyms. And I'll tell you the reason we do that. Now, Laura Lee Hope, okay, that's a name used to write Books for Small Children. Now, if the name Laura Lee Hope appeared on Books for Older Children, people would wonder, how come? Another thing is this, that if anything should happen to the writer, another professional writer could carry on using the same name. So I have been called, well, I don't usually tell my friends that I'm Laura Lee Hope, but I have been on six occasions, and Franklin Dixon also, as you know, is a house suit.
Yeah, that kind of shakes me up.
It shakes up a lot of people.
There never really was a Franklin Dixon, was there?
No, there's never really a Franklin Dixon.
Is there really an Andrew E. Svensson?
Here I am.
Well, I mean, is that your real name, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just again, now you are Alan Stone,
right?
Dan Scott,
right?
Helen Louise Thorndike, Jerry West,
right?
Laura Lee Hope,
yeah,
and Franklin W. Dixon.
That's right.
Okay. It's been just an absolute joy chatting with you today, Andy.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, Bob, and to get to your listeners. I understand that you really blanket the Midwest.
Well, I don't think we do near as good a job as the Hardy Boys do. But we try.
Thank you very much.
Take care and keep on writing.
Okay, fella.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Andy Svensson has been our guest in this segment of At Your Service. We have a spectrum for you. We'll be back after that.